This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The presidents of the United States of America with Mark Five, Uwan Ezra here on the Evening Edition. Interestingly enough, and not related to the ban that we just heard in any way, shape or form, but our next story actually relates to the current president of the United States.
It does indeed.
Because it is the topic of racism and race in the context of America. And that's really sort of the story that we're going to be looking at shortly after this. But this seems to be a recurring theme, at least in the post Obama and current Trump era.
Yeah, and also it feels like we too, I mean, it's not just a story that's isolated to America. It feels that we too over here in Malaysia have become a little more isolationist. We're a country of immigrants. Everybody came from somewhere else, and yet we seem very standoffish against anyone new at the moment, right?
Right.
That's not even talking about the racism that we practice among ourselves as Malaysians. It's interesting because there's this general rule, and that's what we'll talk about in the story, that somehow with every generation, we become less racist.
Yeah, you know, somebody asked me a while back whether I could envision a post-racial Malaysia. And, even almost sometimes the most liberal parts of me find it slightly challenging to imagine what that looks like, as much as I would like that to be the case. I'm struggling to figure out what are those obstacles and impediments that prevent us from heading towards that change. And I'm wondering if, just to begin with, it might just be my imagination that's also not allowing me to get there.
I don't know. I mean, we can have vivid imaginations with really idealistic points of view on how, you know, we can...
Are you talking about young 25-year-old idealistic Ezra?
Do away with race-based parties and all of that stuff. And somehow the reality on the ground, if you've ever spent any time...
A hot second
walking around Malaysia outside of Kuala Lumpur, you realize how impossible that is, the idea of doing away with race-based parties. It's so ingrained that it'll probably take another 60 years before we can even think about it.
All right, we're going to talk more about this shortly after this. Don't forget, it's Talk Back All Day. 03-771-09000 is the number to call to chime in on the conversation. We'll be right back after this on BFM 89.9.
Being first matters. BFM 89.9.
Everyone's a little bit racist today. Everyone's a little bit racist. Okay.
Uman Ezra on the Evening Edition. I'm not quite sure where we got that from. Uman, but our
producers. It's Avenue Q. So the stage play Avenue Q,
right,
has that wonderful, wonderful song. I mean, you know, before it's a story about a young man who comes to a big city, and then, you know, all these Muppets. It's got Muppets and humans in the stage play,
right,
and the Muppets break out into this really poignant and relevant song about how, hey, we're all a little bit racist, but
what?
It's okay.
Well, that's the topic that we're going to be talking about right now, about race and racism. Now, in the context, as we mentioned, at least in American politics in the 20th and 21st century, these issues relating to race and racism, at least, you know, post the Obama era and going into the Trump era, there's a return almost to the explicit racism, at least in political life. And basically, this has somewhat energized a new generation of activists and organizations committed to almost the expansion of white supremacy and by violence if necessary. And what is just as critical is the backlash and growing racial awareness among younger Americans as well.
Yeah, so this article from Slate.com by Jamal Bowie is under the... It's under the impression that things are changing, that the younger generation have a very, very strong belief in racial egalitarianism. And so there is this notion that maybe when these old folks finally die out, that they're the ones holding us back, that this younger generation would drive a post-racial America. It's not an overly optimistic article. I think it's one that's kind of well-researched and rooted in some sort of findings. But I do find that, because I was thinking about it, when I was reading it, I was thinking about it in the Malaysian context, and I was wondering whether that remains the same over here, whether there's a younger generation of Malaysians who are post-racial, who don't see Malay, China, India, and lain-lain, right?
So I guess in either the American experience or the Malaysian experience, I guess the counterweight to any rising wave of ethno-nationalism...
Which are very loud, usually.
Yes.
They have very loud voices.
And it's very apparent. I guess is this shift towards racial egalitarianism that you're talking about, and as we were mentioning before, does it... Can we see that in almost a post-racial world within our respective environments?
Yeah, and I don't know how far that's true, right? I mean, I guess every time they do a survey every few years and they ask people, what do you identify as? Do you identify as Malaysian or do you identify as Indian? Do you identify as Malaysian or do you identify as Malay? Are you
right.
Malay first? Are you Muslim first? I mean, all of those questions, we'll see how that translates over the years, and then maybe we'll get a better picture of what it's like in Malaysia.
Yeah. Well, we're going to cross over to Suhakam Commissioner Gerald Joseph. Gerald, thank you very much for joining us on the Evening Edition. Now, talk to us about this article, and I guess more specifically, how do you think young Malaysians view racism? Are they seeing it as one of the biggest problems in the country?
I think that's a given once young people realize differences, because it's so embedded in our society. So sadly, school, society, family, we pick up as children, we pick up all the nuances of differences and the differences, and then translate into racism. But I think the old generation has taken it on board as if there's no other way out. But I think the young people, because of exposure to a world that is way beyond Malaysia, I think the ability to see that this is strange, young people from school, if they see that they are treated differently, they'll come and complain to their mother, father, and say, how come this is happening? Why the teacher did this? So I think in one sense, I'm happy to hear the ability to recognize that if I'm treated differently, that should not be the way, and to feel insulted or feel strange and ask your parents about it. And I think that's the hope. They should not think that should be the way. Racism should not be the way in Malaysia, but we carried on a legacy from pre-colonial days to the politics of today. And I think young people will provide that hope for the future.
Now, do they feel empowered or do they feel disenfranchised when it comes to dealing with racism and changing the state of our nation?
Maybe I'll start with talking to some youth as a commissioner. So how come I visit the Orang Asli? And when you speak to the youth, they are empowered to know that they want something better for their life. Their village situation is difficult, their land is not there. But these are really young people who do not agree with the present situation for themselves. Then you come out to the urban cities and you see that there is a variety. You have young people who want to do something and they say, I should not stand up for this kind of nonsense and I would say my piece. But the saying my piece then depends on how much they want to put their energy into claiming that space, because there's also, I suppose, a big group of both adult and youth who say, it's too much for me. The country is like this. What can I do? I'll just try to manage my own life. I'm, of course, there's a big segment both of adults and youth. But I'm hopeful because there is also a large segment of young people who are dissatisfied. And I think that dissatisfaction is our hope, really, because then that will prompt for them to challenge norms of racism in the country. And I really feel there is a sizable group, and because of new ways of communication, new styles of talking to each other, I think the young people are going to be connected far better than what we were in the generation before.
So, Gerald, do you have any advice for young people who, I guess, want to take initiative or start taking action?
Yeah, actually, my hope is I think the youth should not believe and buy anything that the present generation tries to get them on board. They should be rebellious in ideas. They should not take for granted proposals made by government, by society, by communities. They should be, as how youth are, suspicious of the, what is this older generation doing for me? Is it really my style? They should reject it if they find a whiff of something that doesn't sound fair and good for me. So I think the first action that young people should do, and I'm thinking they're already doing, is that to be the voice of criticism of things that does not sound logical in a world that is supposed to be fair and equal for all, which is what young people would like us to treat them as, to be fair and equal to young people. Just because they're young, they should not be treated any lesser than the adults. So I think from that consciousness, they will be able to stand up to be critical. And for an example, this whole discourse on the TN50 that is going, I mean, it's a good initiative to get voices in. But I don't think that should be framed to take on the mold of Malaysia as it is. You know, they should be able to turn everything upside down, because it's discussing a new Malaysia. You know, what's how Malaysia is going to look in 50 years to come. And they really do have that strength and possibility. And I think they need to pick up that courage as youth, not youth molded by us, as youth, full stop.
Gerald, thank you very much for your thoughts. And that was Suhagam Commissioner Gerald Joseph on the line, giving us some thoughts or insights on racism and at least how it's being perceived by the younger generation.
I like that line from Gerald. The youth need to be rebellious with regards to ideas and not just take anything this generation says on face value, right? Because he's absolutely right. We need to have youth that are molded by their own ideas as opposed to just molded by the previous generation. If not, we're just going to end up with clan people taking the streets with torches, right?
Well, on that note, we've got some music by Haim, If I Could Change Your Mind, on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.